This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 28th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a publisher that deals in overlooked literary treasures moves to Champaign-Urbana and the University of Illinois campus. We'll hear about that later. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Jay Searles. But first, a look at today's news. 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson says former President Gerald Ford left an indelible impression on him and on his career. As Ford was seeking a full term in office in 1976, Johnson was running for the first of what would be a 12-term career in the Illinois House. Johnson says in a year where it was tough to run as a Republican in the aftermath of the Watergate scandal, Ford's stewardship of the presidency was a healing influence.
I think his stamp as a moderate, as someone who sought compromise and common sense solutions, will be Gerald Ford's legacy to Michigan and the United States.
Ford carried Illinois in the 1976 election. Johnson called Ford a gentleman who was selfless in his service to the country. The former president visited Champaign County during his bid for election in 1976, and one of his hosts recalls him as a neighborly man. Roger Grace's father found out about a week in advance that the family's farm north of Urbana would get a visit from the president during the March Republican primary. Ford's entourage included Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz and then-Congressman Ed Madigan, whom Roger Grace was serving as an aide at the time. But Grace says despite the personalities and the Secret Service presence, Ford put people at ease.
You know, you were in the presence of the president, so you know, that was a special thing. But he was the type of person who, you know, that you felt almost like you were talking to maybe one of your neighbors, that sort of thing. He didn't make you feel uncomfortable at all in any way.
The former president had lunch at the farm and discussed ag policy with the Graces and others in the family living room. The 1976 visit also included stops at Champaign Centennial High School and at an event in Rantoul. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin and a bipartisan group of senators will be unable to attend several events recognizing the late President Ford. They left last night for South America, where they'll meet with the leaders of three countries. The trip is being led by incoming Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. A spokesman for Reid, Jim Manley, says the senators will attend long-scheduled meetings with the presidents of Bolivia, Ecuador, and Peru. He says meetings would be difficult to cancel. Manley says the U.S. has often ignored South American nations and there is a need to improve relationships. Durbin issued a statement that said that Ford was a man of principle who helped lead the nation during dark times. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan has filed a lawsuit seeking to keep the portion of his state pension earned before the scandals that led to his federal racketeering conviction earlier this year. The General Assembly Retirement System Board voted unanimously last month to strip Ryan of a $197,000 annual pension. The board ruled that Ryan's April conviction wiped out the benefits he built up from a 35-year career in public office. But Ryan's attorneys maintain he should get the pension he earned during 24 years as a county board member, state representative, and lieutenant governor. That's about $65,000 a year, because the jobs were separate and he was not accused of crimes during those years. The pension board relied on an opinion from Attorney General Lisa Madigan, who said that Ryan should forfeit the entire amount. Champaign County's Regional Planning Commission says it's still struggling to catch up with the flood of calls it's received about the state-funded program that they took over last week that helps poor people with home weatherization and heating bills. But an official with the agency says they hope to be fully staffed to run the program in a couple of weeks. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The Regional Planning Commission began serving Champaign County clients of the state's Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP, last week. And they've had to start nearly from scratch with little prior notice. But RPC Social Services Director Darlene Kleppel says they're taking applications through Friday for new staff to help run the program.
They're entry-level intake positions, so it would be 2 years of college or the equivalent. People that have been good at doing documentation or doing applications of some kind in the past, have experience with data entry, that kind of thing.
The state took the LIHEAP program away from the Champaign County Urban League earlier this month, claiming the agency had failed to pay some clients' utility bills. The Regional Planning Commission is now working to catch up with clients who had applied for LIHEAP through the Urban League, as well as work with new applicants. Kleppel says they've set up a separate phone number for LIHEAP calls. It's 384-1226. She says callers will likely have to leave a message, but all calls will be returned. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
University of Illinois scientists have clinched a new world record. They've developed a new super-speed transistor that could allow computers to be up to 7 times faster in the future. AM 580's Michael Kaliska reports.
The new transistor is 1,000 times thinner than a human hair. One actually needs a microscope to see it. U of I professor of electrical and computer engineering Milton Fang says a special mix of new materials like indium phosphide make the minuscule transistor super fast.
It's similar to cake. You know, you have a different doping, different flavor, and a different stuff you put together and allow the electron to travel extremely high speed.
Fang worked for about 25 years on these materials that allow electrons to vibrate almost as fast as 900 billion times in 1 second. Fang says the transistor could boost a new form of X-ray screening called terahertz imaging, a technology that could enhance security checks in airports.
Right now, if you got an X-ray, they see everything on you, and people feel there's a lot of private problem. But terahertz imaging would not see everything on you, but see the key parts like a gun and other explosion material.
Fang is already working on the next much faster transistor generation. He says this invention will create technologies that we cannot even imagine right now.
And you expect that kind of revolution. That's coming.
I'm Michael Kuliska, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The Dalkey Archive Press digs out overlooked literary treasures from around the world and translates those books for the American public. The not-for-profit press recently moved from Normal, Illinois to Champaign to establish a unique literary translation program with the University of Illinois. AM 580's Michael Kaliska talked to Dalkey Press founder John O'Brien, who says less and less foreign literature gets published in the U.S., but those books are important to learn about the world.
Well, my passion is literature. Now, underlying that passion is a kind of literature that helps to create change within the domain of literature itself. You can begin to affect how people experience the world, how they see other cultures, and how they begin to reinspect their own culture as a result of being exposed.
There are publishing houses like in serving in a niche segment of the society, I feel. How difficult is it to stay alive?
It's difficult. About half of our income is based upon sales of books. The other half comes from university support, it comes from foundations, it comes from individuals, and a significant amount of support from foreign governments. Now, the survival factor is always an issue. You know from the beginning that you're doing something that's needed, but also something that's not necessarily wanted. And anybody who's concerned about change realizes that that's what they're up against, whether it's political change, social change, or aesthetic change, that you're doing something that is not popular. If it were, it would be being done by the commercial world.
What kind of government like support you and why?
We're the primary publisher of translations, and especially of certain kinds of books, and that if we don't do them, they're not going to be done in the United States. At the same time, foreign countries recognize that English is the language. Because once you're translated into English, that edition can be sent to several foreign countries in order to interest publishers in other countries.
What kind of writers are you really looking for? You've been saying, okay, there are some people who maybe raise subversive issues within their country, so you know a little bit more here in the United States what's going on in the world. What kind of topics are they dealing with?
I like to think that what I decide to publish consists of nothing more than what I like. After you do the book, you begin to find out how the rest of the world describes it. So, for instance, the New York Times frequently will tag us with experimental, innovative, both of which words tend to scare people off. Another favorite way of describing us is that we do books that are not for everybody. As though there is some book that's intended for everybody.
Can you give me like a sample on a book you're working right now so if we have a better understanding of what it is all about?
There's one that I'm in the final stages of copy editing, and it will be out next summer. It's a book by a Russian formalist writer named Viktor Shklovsky. he was silenced by Stalin during Soviet times. And I think it should be a book that's going to turn literary world upside down. In many ways, it's a book about how to read a novel, demonstrated by his attempts to read Leo Tolstoy's works. Now, here's somebody who's very important, should have been known, and for historical reasons, the Russian Revolution never got into the Western world. So we're recovering all that.
So basically it's something like a gateway to the Western world as well?
That's what I'm hoping is going to be the case, yes.
When we look around here, it's like still very empty, naked walls and everything, and yeah, I almost could feel lonely in this office space. So you're going to miss your old, like, you know, surroundings?
No, I'm so forward to having the last thing moved and getting on with this, what I think is going to be a translation program that is going to have enormous effects throughout this country. No university has stepped forward to take on the problem of translations in the way that the University of Illinois is now posed to do. And what comes out of all this, I think, is going to have a profound impact on what gets published in this country and what gets talked about. And I love the idea that this is going to be coming out of not the East Coast, not the West Coast, but right here in the heartland.
AM 580's Michael Kaliska spoke with John O'Brien, who founded the Dahlke Archive Press more than 20 years ago. By now, the Dahlke Press is the biggest independent publisher for translations in the U.S. It just moved to Champaign. Well, precipitation is scheduled to come back to central Illinois, but its scheduled arrival has been pushed back by a little bit. Our meteorologist Jay Searle says across the two-state area today, partly cloudy, with patches of clouds and sunshine and high temperatures ranging from the 40s in northern Indiana to the mid-50s in southern Illinois. For tonight in northern Illinois, mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles moving in, elsewhere partly cloudy, lows ranging from 35 in northwest Illinois to 40 in southern Illinois. And for tomorrow, patches of clouds and sun, the highs again from 45 in northern Indiana to 55 in southern Illinois. Saturday's outlook continued warm and mostly dry with some showers in western Illinois, and then it'll spread across the state Saturday night and become likely on Sunday. By Monday, some colder air moves in with mostly cloudy skies with some showers along with a slight chance for some snow by Monday night. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.